Hi everyone, Michelle here with the Warrior Painters podcast. In this episode, I talk to Nellie Robinson, a technical director at Walt Disney Feature Animation Studios and former Pixar intern. She joined the Warrior Painters just a week after arriving in LA, and the group became her way to explore the city and meet new people. We talked about what her role is as a technical director for animation and how she utilizes both her creative side and technical problem-solving skills. Nellie's art and programming abilities come in handy for her weekend passion project, where she is developing a mobile painting app.
My name is Nellie Robinson. I have been going out with the Warrior Painters for about 3 years, ever since I moved to LA. I actually don't work in animation as a background artist or anything like that. My job is much more about programming and coding, but I've always loved painting, so it's exciting to be able to be part of a group where I can go out with other people and paint with other people.
Cool. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Massachusetts near Boston.
Okay.
And then I went to school in Providence, so East Coast most of my life.
Cool. So tell us about what you studied in school.
Yeah, so I was part of the Brown Risd Dual Degree Program, which is a 5-year program where you get a degree from each school. So I studied computer science at Brown and illustration at RISD. It's a pretty unique opportunity. Not a lot of schools have that. But what I really liked about it was that you had the flexibility and freedom to sort of choose what courses you wanted to take. You still had to fulfill the requirements, but you had much more options, which I really liked.
So did you, like, before you went to college and stuff, were you interested in both those things, like the programming side and art, and that's why you wanted to go with, like, a program that could do both?
I actually had a completely different career goal going there to start with. I thought I was going to be a fine artist and possibly work in a museum. So I wanted to major in art history. I don't really know why I thought that, because I guess I liked going to museums growing up, but I think I saw fine art as, like, if you like art and want to be an artist, then you have to go into fine art. You have to be a painter or something. That was sort of the only career path that I saw growing up. And I just figured that, well, I like school and I like academics, so maybe art history would be a good fit because, I mean, I liked writing essays and stuff like that. So that's what I thought going there. And then freshman year, I completely changed my mind. I realized I didn't actually like fine art that much, or at least I didn't like the conceptual nature of most of fine art nowadays. And what I started doing was learning processing, which is a programming language that's you can use to create, like, graphical output and images. And I was just learning that on my own. And that made me realize, wait a second, like, maybe I should consider computer science. I'd never thought about it or taken any classes, but growing up, I used to make my own websites. I just wanted a place to put my art. So I decided to design my own website. And that was, I didn't really think anything of it growing up. That was just something I did for fun. But in school, I realized, wait a second, like, maybe this is computer science or could be computer science. So I started taking classes in that. And I just really liked it. It made sense to me in a way that art sometimes lacked. I'm not sure. It was just a good balance that I liked. And then at the same time, I was kind of disillusioned with fine art. And what I realized that I was actually drawn to was illustration. So I decided that would be, that was where I wanted to be. And that was what would challenge myself the most.
The dual program, isn't it with two different schools, right? With Brown and then the art school RISD, so you kind of get, like, the best of both worlds. You get your university and also a fine art or I guess art program.
Yeah, it felt like cheating the system a little bit because in high school I was thinking about art school, but the art school I visited just seemed a little bit, I don't know, they just didn't inspire me that much. I think it was because they were all focused just on art. And then you had to take academic classes, but they always seemed like an afterthought. So I wanted to go to a liberal arts school with a broader education, but I also just really wanted to focus on art. So that was, RISD was the only art school I applied to. I think if I hadn't gotten in, I probably would have majored in art at a liberal arts school.
I also saw that you interned at Pixar right when you were in school. What was that like?
Yeah, that was incredible. That was after my third year of school. I heard about this program called the Pixar Undergraduate Program. And what it is, it's a 10-week classroom training program. So you don't work on any of their films, but they just teach you like the entire pipeline there. They have experts from different areas come in and tell you what their job is like and help you do exercises and stuff like that. And that really opened my eyes to what jobs there were in animation, because in the illustration department at RISD, I think there's a lack of focus on entertainment. I think it's very much a editorial book illustration type of department. There were people there who are interested in animation, but it was always like storyboarding or character design or things that I just didn't really have much interest in. But interning at Pixar made me realize that there were a lot of jobs out there that were actually really interesting to me in CG animation. So modeling, shading, lighting, those were all things we learned. And I didn't know those jobs existed before going into this program. So it was kind of crazy to me that like after 3 years of school, I'm like, wait, there's this whole other industry with jobs that I'm interested in that I just never knew about. So that was really exciting.
That's the beauty of doing internships. It really opens your mind and gives you that like professional experience.
Mm-hmm.
I know, at least for the art internships at Pixar, they're really competitive. Was it a tough like application process to get in?
I think because, I don't know. So the work that I got in with was pretty bizarre. It was sort of a blend of programming and art. Basically, I wrote a program to generate 3D trees and then mix those with like ink and traditional media. And that's not the normal pathway to getting an internship at Pixar. But I think
what would a normal pathway be?
To basically have a reel that shows like examples of models or lighting shots or something like that. I hadn't really taken any of those classes before going there. I think they just liked the experimentation and that there was something different in my portfolio. So that was really interesting to me going there. I was like, how did I end up here?
And were there, I guess there were a group of other interns too. Was everyone like in a similar field as you, or were you hanging out with like the, I don't know if they had story interns or art interns too?
Yeah, there were story and art interns. I think I didn't really spend that much time with them because it was mostly with the people in my program. So people who wanted to be technical directors. And they all came from a more traditional animation background. So either like animation programs or computer graphics programs. I think one of the most interesting things about that program was just learning about the different education backgrounds that everyone else had. It made me realize like, RISD maybe has some flaws or things that it isn't as strong in compared to other schools. And I sort of tried to fix my own education pathway based on what I learned from that program.
How so?
I proposed a sort of a senior year project at Brown, focusing on developing a short film. So one of the things that I really liked about the program was our final project, the nine of us worked together to create a short film of just four shots from beginning to end in a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a long week. But I really liked that. I think it was really helpful for learning, just like learning on the fly, learning from other people. So my senior year of school, I proposed something similar, basically a group class where we could all work on a short film together. And we spent over a year working on it, but it ended up being like a 7-minute film, which was longer than we thought it would be.
Yeah, it's pretty long.
Yeah, so that was pretty exciting.
Oh, cool. Is it up somewhere? Like, can people find it?
It is up. You can find it if you search for it.
That, I think that's how I feel about my senior thesis.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a learning experience film. Because, so Brown had a couple computer animation classes, but most of us in the class had only taken 2 classes before this project. So this project was very much like a you learn it by doing it sort of situation, which I'm glad we had. I just wish that we'd been able to do it earlier so we could have, I don't know. It seemed a little bit late to be learning all these things to me.
So after that, were you interested in going into animation?
Sort of. I think I thought, I wanted to be sort of a CG generalist, but there are a couple issues with that because there aren't a lot of generalist jobs because the industry is so specialized. It's really hard to be a generalist. And I also realized that I just really wanted to do programming. And that I liked learning about like modeling, shading, all the different departments, but I really wanted to program and to support all the departments and not have to just focus on getting really good at one thing. So I ended up becoming a technical director because that way I wouldn't have to choose just one thing. I could do it all. And It was much more about like learning how technically things work rather than developing an artistic eye for something. I really wanted to learn how to do things rather than getting really good at one thing.
Can you explain what a technical director does?
Yeah, basically we build and support tools for CG artists and animators.
That can be for games and animation too, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. It changes a lot depending on where you're working. They call it different things at different studios. It's really confusing. especially to explain to people who aren't in the industry, it's really confusing to, you know, talk to family members and try to explain what my job is, which is probably why I didn't know it existed in school or applying to school or anything like that.
Yeah. So after you graduated, what did you do then?
So I moved to LA and I started working in the VFX studio as a pipeline TD, which is just another way to say technical director.
Another one of the many titles.
Yeah. Right. Every studio has its variation.
Is that when you started plein air painting with the Warrior Painters?
Yeah. So right before moving to LA, I looked up like meetup groups and stuff like that. And I saw the Warrior Painters listed and I ended up joining the Facebook group. And then I think it was like a week after I moved to LA, I started going. It was super soon.
That's great.
Yeah. And then I just kept going. I don't know. Everyone was so nice. And I like the places that they picked. So
do you remember the first session you went to?
Yeah, it was Silver Lake Reservoir. And I remember it was super hot. And there were like 2 trees with shade.
I think I was I there too? Did we meet at that one?
I think so.
Because I remember Silver Lake, because it's just like one road and then you're kind of like pressed up against the fence or something.
Yeah, the fence was blocking everyone's view.
What were some of your more memorable paint sessions that you went to? Because I know you said you like going to all the different locations and stuff with the Warrior Painters. Any of those stand out to you as favorite places?
I think some of the longer ones were really exciting just because they weren't places I'd ever gone on my own. Like Solvang.
Oh yeah, Solvang.
That was such a cool, and we saw a lot of emus there, which was fun.
Oh, I missed out on that. You guys went after the paint session, right?
So
sounds
like
cool.
Ostrich World or whatever it was called. I think Ants Abrego was cool to see the wildflowers there. But I also like the ones closer to home were also cool too, because like places I would never have thought to to go to or didn't know they existed. So,
yeah. And plus, when you joined, you were very new to Los Angeles. So that was like the perfect way to get to know the city and stuff.
Right? Yeah. My sightseeing and painting all in one.
Oh, so yeah. So you were doing painting, I guess, like as your weekend hobby, along with your full-time job. And I think I saw you are now working at Disney, right?
Yep. As of February.
Oh, that's awesome. Are you working in feature or TV?
A feature.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, that's I've been working from home for the past 4-5 months. I don't know how long it's been.
Oh, wow. So did you get to go into the studio at all
when you started? I was there for 3 weeks. And then that was it.
Oh, that's so cool. How is that experience? How is it working in a feature in a very prominent and well-known animation studio?
It's great. Yeah, it's very different because it's such a large studio. It feels very different than I am used to because there's just like so many pieces happening and like so much is going on at once. But it's really exciting because there's always new stuff to learn. And I think that's what I always wanted, is just to sort of be thrown into areas that I'm not familiar with and just have to figure out like how stuff works and how to make it better. That's just something I've always liked.
Yeah. So are you focused on a certain area? Because I know there's like character TDs, right? Mm-hmm. So what is your specialty or your role?
So my position is general TD.
Ah,
everyone just names it different things. But I'm just supporting all departments. I'm not focusing on anyone in particular.
Okay. And that sounds like that's in line with what you are interested in anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Being involved in all different areas and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Do other TDs that you know also do painting or plein air painting?
I think most TDs have some sort of creative outlet after work, whether it's like writing or painting or baking even. I think it's good to have, like, when your job's super technical, I think it's necessary to have something you do outside of work that's creative or, you know, creative in some way.
Sure. I know those are very different things, plein air painting and being a technical director, but has plein air painting or the art practices helped you in your profession?
I think so, but only indirectly. Like, it's not like, I'm like, oh, now I know about color, I'll apply that to coding.
Right.
I think it's more like you have to have an appreciation for art and animation and storytelling in order to be a good technical director, because we're not like, I don't know, working at a software company. Like, we're making movies, and that's always the most important thing. So everything you do has to be in service of the movie. And technical directors are very much just like on the floor trying to get stuff out, trying to make stuff look as good as possible. And I can't imagine doing that when I'm not interested in art or animation in some way.
Yeah. So then on the flip side, have you seen your technical background, your programming background, influencing your work, your painting work?
I think sometimes it has. In school, I took a couple classes on computer graphics. And a big topic in computer graphics is rendering. So how do you model light going through space, hitting objects, and end up with like a final pixel value of what color it is, which is a very technical question. It's like, you're literally just asking what color is this pixel? And in order to do that, you have to know a lot about how light moves, how it interacts with surfaces, reflections, that sort of thing. So I did have to learn a lot about light for that. And I think at the time I was taking a landscape painting class at the same time. And I could see it like having an influence. So when I was painting, I was thinking like, I was thinking about like direct light, indirect light, like light bouncing, etc. Which obviously, like, I think most artists think about that. But for some reason, it wasn't until I like read books and papers on it that it sort of made sense to me. Like I, before I could see it happening, but I didn't actually visualize like how it was happening or think about the why all the time. But after those classes, I think it was much more analytical in the painting, which I feel like it's surprising that that actually helped it. Because you'd think like, oh, for, to paint, you need to loosen up and just sort of turn off your brain. But I think for me personally, that really helped just learning why everything was happening and why things looked the way they did.
Yeah. I might say in a way you have a more comprehensive or even better understanding of like lighting and rendering than someone like me, who's just kind of what I see from observation and stuff. Like you said, you understand the technical side. You can even create it or build it.
on the flip side, I do think it sort of makes it, I don't know what the word is. I think I tend to get pickier about things, which again, I think is a common artist problem, is just being sort of perfectionistic and picky. But I think I often want like a tangible result or like something to be right or wrong. And art doesn't have that as much as programming does. So sometimes that can be frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So I also wanted to ask you about your painting app. What inspired you to create it?
Yeah, well, so I think it's something I've always wanted to build. In school, we had to do a project where it was basically like a brush painting program. Just super basic, like not even like an eyedropper tool, just like airbrush with colors. And that made me think like, wow, this is actually something I'm actually interested in, not just for a school assignment, but maybe to use. But at the same time, it wasn't like easily portable. It wasn't like on a phone or anything. It was just on a computer. I don't even know if it worked with a tablet. So that was something that's been in the back of my mind for a while. And then recently, I think it was last year, I started experimenting with some web-based drawing programs. I've always been someone who, I have very strong opinions about drawing programs. Like certain tools I really like, certain tools I feel like, I don't, it's frustrating when something's really good but could be better.
Can you give an example?
Like someone showed me, I forget the name of this program, but there's a program that has, it's like a Photoshop color wheel, but you can pin it to the canvas. So you don't have to like tap the color, pick the color, close it. It's just right there on it. I'm like, why don't more programs have this? Like Procreate, it doesn't have that. So I've always been pretty picky about stuff like that. Oh yeah, and then around this time I started doing paintings on my phone while waiting for the bus. Just like whenever I went somewhere, if I was stranded at a bus stop for a little while, I'd just do a quick color study. And it was sort of hard on my phone because I don't have like a stylus or anything. I was just using my finger. So I started thinking about how I could improve that. And then that led me down a rabbit hole. And then I started making my own app. And then surprisingly, I'm still working on it. I sort of thought I'd have lost interest or something by now, but it's still fun. So I'm still doing it.
That's cool. It's funny because it's almost the exact same trajectory that Vaughn has with Heavy Paint, where he's just like frustrated with how certain apps work. Why aren't they optimizing certain features? And also he started painting on his phone and wanted to make a better app for the painting experience. So
Heavy Paint was super inspiring to me because that showed me that like it's feasible. Like someone else has done it. So you don't need like an entire software company just to make like an app. Like you can make a really good app if you like think carefully about what you're putting in it And if you are very specific and don't try to put everything in it, but only put what's necessary. That was just really inspiring to me.
Yeah. And the problem with a lot of those apps is they're not necessarily designed by artists or people who are painting every day, right? And yeah, so you exactly. have the best of both worlds. You have that programming knowledge and you actually paint all the time. So you know what or the best painting app would be for yourself and probably other painters.
Yeah, it's definitely always easiest to design something when you're going to be the one using it.
Yeah. So how far along is it right now? Is it ready to be released and for us to use?
I've done exactly one painting on it that I'm happy with. And that in itself was a milestone. So probably not anytime soon, but eventually maybe. Yeah, I mean, I'm not really expecting it to be widely used. Honestly, like, if I only make it for myself, I think that's enough. As long as I get use out of it. But hopefully some other people will use it too.
Well, you know, there will already be a community of warrior painters who would be very interested. So you'll at least have that group of users.
Yeah, hopefully.
So do you have any other hobbies outside of like programming and painting?
I think I just sort of pick up random hobbies that come and go. At the moment, I've been doing some fabric dyeing. Just like dyeing fabric with plants and avocado pits and stuff like that.
Dyeing fabrics with avocado pits?
Yeah.
How does that work?
So if you collect enough pits, you can just boil them in water for a little bit. Maybe like an hour or so. And then you have like a pink dye. And then you just soak fabric in it. And it's pink.
Really? I've been using avocado pits to try to grow avocado tree. I didn't realize there were other uses.
That seems like a better use of avocado pits.
So I know you talked about taking, you took some painting classes and stuff. Do you take a lot of other art classes?
Yeah, I took a couple. I took Peter Chan's class at CDA for gouache color study, and Ed Lee's environment sketching class. And I learned a lot from both of them. I'm so glad I took them because it was just like, it wasn't like I hadn't been doing gouache or hadn't been sketching before, but it was a completely new way of working and thinking about it. But after taking those, I realized like, I think now I just need to practice on my own and like get better at that. So I didn't really want to take any more classes. Plus now I can't because of the pandemic.
Exactly.
So perfect.
Do you have any advice that you would give to people maybe who are kind of similar like you, we have like a technical and or programming background and they want to get into art? Like how would you advise them to start playing or painting or art?
I think my advice would probably be the same for anyone from a non-art background who wants to get into art is just, honestly, just like show up. Like showing up is, especially for plein air painting, showing up I think is half of it.
Yeah.
I think also just using larger brushes, partially because they help you work faster, but also because they sort of force you to not be precious with your painting, especially in the beginning. I think it's really helpful.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat about your background. And I really like learning about your interests, your computer science interests, and how that intersects with your art interests.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. We love hearing from you. So please leave a comment and share your thoughts. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to see more from the Warrior Painters, please consider donating to our Gumroad. You'll find the link in our description. Thanks, and see you again soon.